Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We have our reason number 1,210 to get your kids out of public school. That's coming up with the story we overlooked. It happened a couple years ago in West Virginia, the public school that had the kids practice calligraphy, writing out the Muslim prayer that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. That is so horrific. We'll talk about some of the details of that. What, did the Muslims invent calligraphy? No, they didn't invent calligraphy. And unless they want the kids to write lies, they could have written that Allah is no God and Muhammad is a false prophet. Now, that would have been a worthwhile lesson. Also, we've got a programming note in June on Real Science Radio. June is Grand Canyon Month on Real Science Radio. We've got Pat Buchanan, who is just freaking out over the Pope. Pope Francis, can a Pope change moral truth? And he asks, is the Pope Catholic? We've been joking about that for 2-3 years around here. We used to say that decades ago. Is the Pope Catholic? A Silicon Valley pastor has said that this center of the world's technological revolution is filled with hatred. And in fact, this guy himself, his church, was a homosexual church, and he's filthy. He can't even speak without being filthy. So we'll talk about that. And of course, democracy is the most divisive of all forms of government. And boy, can you see that? We've been saying that on this show for 25 years, 27 years. And boy, is that coming to fruition. We also have the Boy Scouts now. The Boy Scouts at their 24th World Jamboree. You know that they now accept homosexuals, lesbians, girls. Girls are now in the Boy Scouts. They changed their name to Scouts. It's not the Boy Scouts anymore. And now they're making condoms available to all the Scouts at their 12-day camping event, the 24th World Jamboree. How's that one? And also we've got this, what a wonderful note from the Inman Valley in South Australia. A listener who is just so kind, so encouraging, so supportive. So it's fun that BEL gets out around the world as it does. And we even ship out our Bible studies and science materials to Europe and Asia, Canada, Mexico, Australia. It's so encouraging to get the word out. And those who've supported this ministry help us do exactly that. And who in the world is this in studio? Do you guys let just anybody come in here?
Oh, I'm David Kinsel, formerly of Channel 7 KMGH.
That's right. Dave, you and I are friends for decades now. You were the sound engineer at Channel 7, the news, for 20 years or so.
20 years.
In fact, you helped Bob and Yurt Live when we were on TV. We've told this story on the air before, and you just dropped by. We were not planning to do a show, and I've got all these news stories, but I thought maybe you could sit in and help out.
I'll see if I can say something intelligent.
Well, and let's remind the audience that when I was on TV on Channel 53, you're working at Channel 7, and Channel 7's news set. You know, a million people every night would see Channel 7 news, some large number. And they got a new set. You called me up and said, Bob, you got about 10 hours. Could you get here with a moving truck? You could have the old set.
And you showed up with a big truck, and we put it in the truck and hauled it over to
loaded it up
your new station.
Monday evening, here comes Bob and Yurt Live, and the audience was stunned because here's this massive Channel 7 news set, and I'm in the middle of it sharing the news BEL style.
And there was a different message after that.
Yes, that was so much fun. Okay, so there is a lot to talk about. I thought we'd start with one of our sons. Dave, you've met most of our seven sons. One of our sons, a couple years ago, was urging a young girl, 13-year-old, friend of a friend, who had been homeschooled up until then, to not transfer to public school. Her parents gave her the decision of what to do. And what a mistake, what a tragedy that is. Parents are supposed to be parents. And a 13-year-old child is not the one to decide, am I ready for a godless education? So she transferred. And a couple years later, now she has been diagnosed with depression. She's struggling. This beautiful, young, happy girl. And not everybody who goes to public school gets depression, but it is a nightmare, and the curriculum is designed to destroy a child's soul. And this young girl, Dave, she now says she doesn't believe in the Bible.
Wow, that's tragic.
Yeah, sad and totally expected. So that gets us into our reason number 1,210. Actually, that's 1,210. Yet another tragic story that's completely predictable, because the curriculum is designed to destroy your child's soul. That's the purpose of the curriculum. So let's say now reason number 1,211 to get your kids out of public school. And this comes from West Virginia. This teacher decides to give the kids a lesson in calligraphy and has them write out the Islamic prayer. This is what it's translated to English as. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. What a devastation. You know, if this was, turn it around, if it was something affirming Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father, there's no way this teacher, there's no way this school would have permitted that.
Absolutely true.
Absolutely. We've seen this 100 times over. In some schools, they make accommodation for Muslim kids. They put down their rugs and they pray to Allah, to Mecca, you know. And they have other students, okay, let's do this and see what it's like to be a Muslim. There's no way they're going to do this with Jesus Christ. This so-called political correctness and accepting all views, this political correctness and so-called tolerance of all views means tolerance of anything other than Jesus Christ. That's what it actually means. And that's what it is. So this freaked out a lot of parents. The school's website says, in the future, a different sample of Arabic calligraphy will be used.
Oh, well, man.
And why Arabic calligraphy anyway? I mean, calligraphy goes back to the Persians, today Iran. They're not Arab. They don't speak Arabic. It goes back really to the ancient Chinese. And in fact, long before Muhammad, there are manuscripts of the New Testament. Dave, we're going back. We're going to another country, our Bible tours of Israel, Greece, Turkey, Italy. Well, in October, we're going to Italy again. When in Rome, do Romans. We're going to have such a fabulous time there. But when we were in Greece, we go to these monasteries like at Meteora and elsewhere, and they have manuscripts of the New Testament going back, you know, far more than 1,000 years. And the beautiful text, the handwriting, just incredibly gorgeous. So in all the world, why not Chinese calligraphy? But Arabic, come on. So anyway, that's our reason number 1,211 to get your kids out of public school.
Amen to that.
Amen. So you agree, even though you used to work at Channel 7, they wouldn't have agreed with that.
Absolutely not. They have their own agenda there.
Yeah, they do, and they're politically correct, which means really in rebellion against Jesus Christ. You know, speaking of language, it used to be said that, well, Moses could not have written the first 5 books of the Bible because they didn't have writing back then. And then archaeologists, thankfully, they find the Code of Hammurabi, and they say, oh, yeah, they did have writing back then. But there couldn't have been a priesthood in Israel. In Israel, the ancient Hebrews could not have come up with the Hebrew scriptures because there was not enough literacy in the culture at that time in Israel to have enough people who could support that body of literature, the Bible, the Old Testament. So guess what, Dave? Archaeologists, they're digging around in a military outpost on the border, ancient border of Israel, where these are where, like, the lowest guys on the totem pole in the military, that's where they're stationed. They find their letters that they wrote back and forth to themselves. And they were completely literate, completely sophisticated, even though they're talking about things like, hey, we've run out of butter. We need more butter. We'd like 3 hins of wine. We need this. We need that. Our supplies are running slow. So they find all this correspondence, and they realize that if these far-flung military officers, soldiers, if they knew how to write, certainly the people in the capital city of Jerusalem and in Bethlehem and the major cities of Israel, certainly they would know how to write also. So yet another claim against the Bible, knee-jerk claim that was falsified.
So new archaeology is proving that the Bible is true.
Oh, it's so exciting, especially what's going on in Egypt. We'll be doing a show soon. Dave, Fred Williams and I, a year ago, we did the evidence for the Exodus. We'll be doing a show soon on their lunar month that they had, the lunar calendar. And there is astronomical proof that the standard chronology is wrong in Egypt, and that the chronology based on the Bible, taking the Bible literally, is right. 39 sightings of a new moon, 39 in Egypt, by a scribe in the 12th dynasty, King Amenemhat III. And those who believe in the Bible say, here's when that king lived, and that's the king who was on the throne when Joseph entered into Egypt. Here's when he lived, and the standard and the atheist Egyptologists, they say, no, not true. He lived in this century over here. Well, you take those 39 sightings of the new moon, and you use our computers and go back with astronomy, and you find out that they were wrong, and the people who believe the Bible is accurate are right. We're going to do a show on that. That's really exciting.
I think I'm going to have to tune in for Real Science Radio this Friday.
Yeah, well, yeah, this Friday, Fred and I are in the middle of a series, The List of Evidence for the Global Flood. And yeah, that's great. And then June is Grand Canyon Month at Real Science Radio. But we'll be doing this archaeoastronomy program on RSR coming up pretty soon here.
Can't wait.
It'll be so much fun. Okay, so we did our reasons number 1,210 and 1,211 to get our kids out of public school. Now we have the Boy Scouts, who are also the Girl Scouts, and the lesbosexuals and all the trannies and the homosexuals and all that, and the FOMOs, and they're all now a part of the Boy Scouts, and therefore, at their coming camping event, coming right up, they need to make condoms available to the Scouts. This is so expected. In fact, we did predict it, that they would become child sex advocates, which the Boy Scouts had spent a century trying to protect the kids from becoming the victims of molesters. Now they have homosexual scoutmasters, and the entire thing is perverse. We need to discuss that and why our family, a few years ago, got out of the Boy Scouts, and it was not to protect our kids. It was to protect other kids. And a lot of Christians don't get that, and they think, well, our kids are still in Scouts, but it's okay. It's okay. It hasn't hurt us yet. But you got to care. You got to love your neighbor as yourself. But before we get to the Boy Scouts, and before Pat Buchanan is all freaked out about the Pope, is the Pope Catholic, we've got this pastor, so-called pastor. He's like one of the fraudulent religious leaders that Jesus would blast. Might be a religious leader, but they don't love God. So I'm not even going to give his name, the name of his church, but I will say it was the First Baptist Church of his city, and it was a homosexual church. And this pastor, as he's complaining about all the hatred around him, and think of it, it's in California, it's the epitome of the progressive left in Silicon Valley, and he says there's nothing but hate everywhere. He doesn't realize he's a part of the hate because he's fomenting rebellion against Jesus Christ, because Jesus taught us that God created us male and female, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, like at his church. But what we have been sharing with folks for decades now on the air is democracy, and this is also true of republics. A representative republic is awfully close to a democracy. Democracy is the most divisive form of governance, and it sets brother against brother, parents against children, friend against friend, coworker against coworker, and America has become a cauldron seething with hatred and animosity. Everywhere you look, in every direction, on every issue, everyone is hating everyone else. It's so devastating, and our U.S. Constitution is one of the direct causes of all this animosity, because people think that they should be in charge of how the government should function, and that produces hatred instead of humility.
Shouldn't we let the people decide, though?
Let the people decide, right? How many times have you heard somebody say, like at a town hall meeting, hey, you work for me. I'm your boss, speaking to the governor, the mayor, whoever. And I think this person is an idiot. And this person wants the government to listen to them. I mean, how much of an idiot are you not to realize that the person sitting next to you disagrees with you? It would insist that that governing official do the opposite of what you're saying. So you, yes, I'm talking to you. Yeah, I'm looking through the radio. You idiot, you. You who say that you're the boss of the governing authority, you're an idiot. You are an idiot. And democracy and a representative republic, which is the kissing cousin to a democracy, it's incest. You are foolish for not recognizing that this is a destructive form of government that causes people, instead of to be humble, to be prideful and want to lord it over their neighbors. That's what a representative republic does. And are some people right and some people wrong? Oh, yeah, that's absolutely true. But we have a form of government that's in utter rebellion against the authority from God, because authority flows downhill, not uphill, not from the people to the government to God, but from God through the government to the people, from the parents to the children, and even the kid can kick the cat off the couch. Authority flows downhill like water. Authority flows downhill, not uphill. So this pastor who sees hatred all around him in Silicon Valley, I'm sure he does see hatred, but also I presume that if Jesus Christ were to return and teach what he taught 2,000 years ago, this pastor would say that Jesus was a hater. He'd see Jesus is a hater. Truth is hate to those who hate the truth. So yes, there's hatred among the left and those in rebellion against God, but then those same people, when they see the truth, they also hate the truth.
What kind of a pastor is this? I thought that the Apostle Paul called pastors and people who are in authority to be of a higher standard.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, actually, could we discuss that for a moment? The New Testament says that pastors have the stricter judgment. So when there's a judgment, those who teach, teachers are held to a stricter judgment. Because you're responsible then not only for yourself, but for others. That makes sense, right?
It does. And what didn't this pastor get the memo?
Right. I don't think so. But as regards to a higher standard, could I take issue with that, Dave? You could correct me if you think I'm wrong. But there is only one standard of holiness, and that is God. There are not two standards of holiness or righteousness. And when Paul lays out the qualifications for pastors, for elders and deacons, he says they're to not be sexually immoral, not given to violence, you know, not thieves. They're to raise their children well. They're not to be drunkards. All these things apply to all men and certainly to all Christians. So there is no higher standard of righteousness that the leader of a church needs to strive for. But as the Bible shows us, the leader of the church can be someone who's actually living the Christian life. If you are living the Christian life, you have some maturity in your spiritual walk, then you are qualified to be a leader. So it's really fascinating. So it's absolutely fascinating, and we cover that in our epistles of Paul. We go verse by verse through the books of the Bible. As you know, we've been doing this for decades. People go to our website when they want to listen to these. We have many online. Just go to kgov.com, and every Thursday, Theology Thursday, it's right there. But also, if you click on the store, you could get our studies verse by verse through the books of the Bible. And when Paul wrote to Timothy and when Paul wrote to Titus, he laid out the qualifications for the leaders of the church, and we go through that verse by verse. It's so fun. It's absolutely fascinating.
I listen to Theology Thursday quite often. Mm. I love it.
Isn't it so much fun, Dave? The Bible should make so much sense to us, and if somebody reads the Bible and it page after page it's confusing, it could be because you don't have a biblical view of who God is. God is living, personal, relational, good, and loving. Those are the top five biblical attributes of God. And so because he's relational, he can interact, he could change. But many Christians have been taught that God can't change, that the future is settled. So when the Bible says to pray, and you think, well, why pray if the future is settled? And Jesus even said, pray, and if God doesn't want to do what you're asking for, keep praying. Perhaps you'll persuade him exactly the way Moses persuaded God in the Old Testament. And so God has this relationship with Israel, with the body of Christ, with individuals. And so when you're taught things that are false, like that there's only one covenant, when the Bible tells us there's the covenant of circumcision, Israel, the covenant of uncircumcision, the body of Christ, the gospel of grace. And today, everyone who believes is part of the covenant of uncircumcision, the gospel of grace. Everyone, even if you're Jewish today. But that when God is done with the body of Christ, he'll then in the future, in the end times, he'll return to working with Israel. So that's a basic framework. And when Christians don't know that, they read the Bible, it doesn't make a lot of sense to them. But we are celebrating every chapter of the Bible, every study we do, we're celebrating the ability to understand God's word and apply it to your life. It's so much fun.
I think your manuscript, the plot, lays that out very nicely.
Oh, thank you so much. It's an honor, Dave, that you and I have become friends, and I'm so thrilled. You know, you stop by here once every so often. Usually we get to go to lunch like today. We have so much fun fellowshipping, and it really, truly is tremendous. Okay, so the Boy Scouts. So now, yeah, they decided a few years back they're going to accept homosexuals, homosexual scouts. And then we said on the air, of course, that means homosexual scout leaders. That happened a short time later. Then they're going to, of course, accept girls, lesbians, and then, of course, the gender dysphoria crowd. And if you're going to have children who are expressing their sexual attraction to others who they're going to be camping with, sleeping in a tent overnight, of course there's going to be sexual behavior, of course. And so now, to show how loving and responsible they are, the World Scout Committee is requiring condoms be made available to all the scouts for this 12-day camping event. It's just absolutely horrific. Of course, condoms fail at a predictable rate, and that's beside the point, because condoms can't protect your soul, your heart, your dignity, your human dignity. So they are using these children, they're using them to express their rebellion against God, and many of these kids will be destroyed by the Boy Scouts of America. They will destroy these kids.
Do the scouts allow Christians to be in the scouts?
Well, if you hold to a biblical Christian morality, worldview, no, you will not be allowed. And in fact, that's another thing we pointed out on the show for decades. Homosexuality and Christianity are mutually exclusive. You cannot have both in the public square. One or the other will be suppressed.
So much for diversity.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, there's a hatred of Jesus Christ. And so the churches and the Christians who said, well, we're going to stick with the Boy Scouts because we know that our troop, you know, the charter, it's held by a strong Christian church. And so our kids will be safe. What they didn't realize they were doing is giving a false sense of security to 100,000 other kids and their parents. Because the more that parents who know right from wrong, and the more churches that have Boy Scout charters, the more they stay with it, the more that their reputation is adhering to the Boy Scouts, which is now the enemy of the child, the enemy of the boy, the enemy of the girl, and the enemy of Jesus Christ. So we pulled our kids out of a local big troop. It was Troop 999. We love those guys, Dave, that run that troop, and they love the Lord, and they've been such a great influence on hundreds of kids over the last quarter of a century. But they should have closed down that troop when the Boy Scouts said, we're now going to accept, promote homosexuals, homosexuality. They should have shut it down so that they could protect other kids in other troops and the kids who come 10 years and a generation later after them. That's who they should have been thinking about, not their own kids at that very moment. And that's why Cheryl and I, we pulled out our three kids. One of our sons was within maybe, I don't know, maybe 8 months of becoming an Eagle Scout. And that is quite an honor. I mean, it was. Today, you don't want any association with the Boy Scouts. But anyway, last story is Pat Buchanan. Do you remember, Dave, years ago, decades ago, we'd say, is the Pope Catholic? We'd joke.
Absolutely.
Right, is the Pope Catholic. When somebody wanted you to agree with some other issue and you didn't want to say yes, you'd say, is the Pope Catholic? Like, of course. Well, the past few years with Pope Francis, we've been saying this around the studio. Is the Pope Catholic? You no longer know whether he's Catholic or not.
I'm not so sure anymore, and I grew up Catholic.
No, and, you know, one defender of the Vatican said just this week, you can't believe, you got to believe the Pope, you can't believe a homosexual. Well, how do you know that the Pope is not a homosexual? Because the Pope is fond of homosexuals. The Pope has done everything he could since he's been the Pope to get acceptance for homosexuality within the Roman Catholic Church, within the Vatican. And the Vatican has had so many scandals, and it's so horrific, and how ignorant they are not to recognize that their acceptance of homosexual priests, as long as they claim to be celibate, is what's led directly to the homosexual molestation of thousands of boys by priests.
Can we get Pope Benedict back?
Oh, right. This Pope Francis, do you remember in 2014, he said, who am I to judge regarding homosexuality? Then in 2016, his apostolic exhortation, he urged greater acceptance of homosexuals in the church. In 2018, he said, God made you like this to a homosexual and loves you like this, and the Pope loves you like this. Just So disgusting. So Pat Buchanan is freaked out. He's Catholic. We're not here, thankfully. Hey, God bless you guys.